Pittsburgh Maven Chief and text messages. Group from Alcoholics Anonymous in North Pittsburgh. There you go.
Hi, I'm Megan. I'm an addict. It's so funny because I like had all these things like running through my head like for like the last couple of weeks, and like when people were sharing last night at the meetings I attended, I had things running through my head. This morning, and I was sitting there and I just felt completely empty, and I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. And I usually don't, no matter how much I think about stuff. But I was just sitting there and I was just so peaceful, and I was like, I just don't want to do this. I just want to sit there and just listen. Like when I got the Facebook message asking me to speak, like my immediate reaction, I actually burst into tears, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I don't want to speak at a retreat. This is the third retreat I spoke at this year, and you know, the topic is change I must or die I will, and I'm going through a lot of changes right now. That probably wouldn't kill me, but you know, like, change is something that's difficult for me. And so I burst into tears, and I didn't even say, like, oh, it would be an honor. I just said, I'll get back to you. And like the next day I was driving home, and I thought about calling my sponsor and talking to her about it. And I started remembering, like, speaking at the Butler retreat, and like, I don't think I stayed on topic at all there. I don't think I stayed on topic at all at Tri-State, but things are revealed to me when I speak. And I was like, you know what, maybe this is just where I need to be. And I sent her a Facebook message yesterday, and I said, it'll be an honor, I'll be there. You know, for me, like, the process of recovery is a process of change. I came in here, I was 20 years old, and I was terrified of everything. Like, when I came in here, I knew I wanted to be clean. That's about all I knew. I knew that if staying clean and working steps didn't work for me, I was probably going to kill myself because I didn't know what else to do. The way I was introduced to recovery is my mom was an addict, and she had been in recovery for like 7 years by the time I made the decision to get clean. So like, I kind of used my whole time I was using, like, I had a head full of NA. Like, there was a yesterday in my bathroom. I used to sit there and read it in the morning because, you know, that's what you do when you're sitting on the toilet, right? And I'd be all hungover reading Just for Today. And, you know, I was quartered to go to meetings a lot, and I'd just go with my mom. And so it was like I've always known about this program. And at the end of my road, you know, like, I had this really severe car accident. I almost died. I was in the hospital for 4 days. And, like, as soon as I could walk again, I was, like, kind of back at doing the same things. And it was, like, when I did those exact same actions, and I realized, like, I had a problem. Like, I had that moment where I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm willing to risk my life for the next one. I have a problem. I need help. And that started this process of change, that moment of awareness. And, like, one of the things that keeps coming up for me lately is the idea that, like, awareness on its own does nothing for me. Like, I need to take some actions. You know, so like the most important change that, you know, like that I must make is I must stop using. It's definitely the most significant change I've made since I've been here. My clean date's May 20th, 2003. I got clean when I was 20 years old. And like sometimes like I'm going through life in here and I'm looking at other people and I'm like, how do they have this all figured out? And then I'm like, oh, because they're like 60. And you're like 25, like, you know, like you just have a different maturity level. Like sometimes I have to remember like where I'm at in my process. Because I can't compare my insides to someone else's outsides either. So I came in here and I was scared. I was scared to death. Like when I woke up in the hospital, I looked at my mom and I said, I wish I would have just died in that accident. Like for my bottom was a spiritual bottom. Like I was the walking dead. I didn't want to be alive. Living had no meaning to me whatsoever. And I'm crying now because my life today is such the opposite of that. It's just, these are tears of gratitude for this gift. So I came in here with the awareness that I had a problem and the willingness to do something about it. And like I went to a meeting and I picked up a white key tag and a woman gave me a bunch of women's phone numbers and said, call us. And I called her and I asked her to be my sponsor. And I started working steps with her immediately. Like for me, like the process of change is like it happens in the steps. At least it did for me. And it's such a journey, and it's circular, and it's sort of like as soon as I feel like I got something, it's like it just comes back up for me. And the spiritual speaker at Tri-State was talking about that, like how it's like this upward spiral, and it's like I'll be at the same point, you know, and it's like I'm coming around, but my view changes every time. You know, it's the way those layers of the onion come off, or however you want to put it. But through the process of the steps, like I had that willingness to start applying this stuff to my life. And like admitting that like I was like powerless and that my life was unmanageable, like, you know, like that just sort of set the stage for me. The real work for me, like steps 1, 2, and 3 like laid a really strong foundation. But the real work for me was always in like 4, 5, 6, and 7. Like that's to me where it's like I kind of really dug in deep and like started to change. And like the longer I stay clean, it's sort of like the more aware I am of like how my actions can back me into that corner where I feel like I can't get out without picking up a chemical. When I had about like 3 years clean or maybe 4, I remember like I was caught up in this obsession with this like flirtation I should have had no business being in. And it just kept progressing. And it got to this point where it was like, okay, like so it's sort of like now it's like I need to take an action or just walk away from it. And I had so much awareness. Like I was like, if you do this, like you're probably gonna have to write about it in your next 4th step, and you're gonna have to share it with a sponsor in a 5th step, and you're probably gonna have to make amends for it. And I was just like, fuck it, I'm doing it. Like that much awareness, that much self-awareness, and still acting out on a character defect anyway. The resulting guilt and shame catapulted me into such a place of like, oh my God, what the fuck did I just do? I have to go use now. I can't tell anybody about this. But I didn't use. I called my sponsor. I got honest about it, you know, like, I shared it with other people and to me, it was like one of those jarring experiences in my recovery that just showed me that like, no matter how much I think I have this, like I always have to stay vigilant. Yeah. I always say that word wrong. I like to mix up the L and the G. For me, like that the idea of change, it's sort of like it's this ongoing journey. It's like when I come in here, it's like I have to stop using. I start working on some steps. I start gaining some self-awareness. I start gaining some self-confidence. I start to feel okay, but I can't remain complacent. Because when I do, I end up doing stuff. You know, I slowly pick up the stuff. Like I slowly go back to my old ways. That's at least for me. Like I can never sit still in here. I have to constantly grow and change. And just stay at it. And it's a discipline. And it scares me. It scares me sometimes. And sometimes I get like kind of like annoyed with it. Like when I had about 9 years clean, like I got to this point where I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. Like, you know, like this is just monotonous. Like, and I really stepped away and you know, like the self-centeredness came back and the isolation came back and the paranoia came back. And it's like, I get to that place where it's sort of like, I just feel so lonely. You know, the idea that like the alienation of addiction, you know, clean, can just come on me so bad. And I'm so afraid to reach out and be open and honest and vulnerable. And like these are the things that like I'm constantly working on and constantly changing. And because if I don't work on those things and I stay stuck in those places, like the end result is like I'm gonna pick up. And even when I don't pick up, I have that spiritual death, you know. And I feel it. You know, it's almost like right back to where I was when I got here. You know, like life is meaningless, boring, and what's the fucking point? Like I might as well just be dead. And I don't think that's why I'm on this planet, you know, like, I came in here and like, you know, I had like a childhood. I guess I could say it was not the best, But I came in here with such that, like, victim mentality of, like, I was wronged. Like, this place is fucked up. Like, I deserve to be given something as, like, compensation for what I had to go through, you know? Like, I came in here with that chip on my shoulder and, you know, letting go of that and taking some personal responsibility brought about a lot of changes. I said I was in the process of change. Like, I recently made the decision to tell my husband I no longer wanted to be married, and I'm in this process of separation. And I know it's the right decision, but there's so much happening under the surface with it. And I didn't think I was going to end up here, you know? And, like, people keep telling to me, well, no one gets married thinking, like, I can't wait to get divorced. Like, of course you didn't think you're going to end up here, or else you would have never said I do. And, and I know we both played a part. Like, I know we both played a part. And, like, and I have this sadness. And, like, the one thing I keep coming back to is, like, it's nobody's fault. Like, there's not, like, something I can just blame this on. It just is. But this process of change and, like, going through this and walking through it clean and having these feelings and not running from them. Like, that's the process of change I'm in today. It's like, before it was just sort of like I would isolate and kind of shut myself out. I could, like, you know, watch a million episodes of TV or, you know, like, do a million hours of service work or something else. But, like, today I have the ability to sit and feel all these feelings that are coming up around this and not even attach judgment to them. You know, like, people, like, are always like, oh, you're going to be okay. And, like, I'm like, I'm okay now. Like, this is what human beings do. They feel shit, you know? And it's such a blessing. And it's such a blessing to be able to walk through this and feel that. And to be able to honor what we had at one point and grieve. It's a grief process. My dad passed away this year. We didn't have, like, the best relationship. Like, he moved when I was 8 years old, and I've missed him my entire life. And when I got clean, I, you know, started working on that relationship, and it took work, and it got better, and it got to a point where at least I, like, had a relationship with him. Like, before there was, like, nothing. And I finally made amends to him, like, probably, like, 3 months before he passed. And, I was always so afraid to make amends to my dad, because I always felt like, I'm going to make amends to him, and he's going to die. And I know I'm not that powerful. Like, the truth is that he had been really sick for, like, 6 years with COPD, and, like, I was constantly worried about getting that call, that he had passed. And, you know, I was talking to a woman yesterday. We walked all around this campsite. We were talking about all the changes we make and how, like, how we don't feel like we're strong people, you know, because everything just kind of feels hard. And I was like, you know what, like, I think that's what really makes us strong, though. It's like, we do these things that are just so against our nature. Like, that takes so much courage, you know, like, to sit down with my father and, like, bring up, like, some stuff from, like, our past. Because, like, you know, like, I made amends to him, but part of my amends to my father in my case was forgiving him and letting him know that. I mean, and, like, for him to be able to share with me, like, what was going on with him, like, it was, like, the first time we actually had, like, this open, honest communication. And, like, the blessing is that, like, that stuck up until he passed. Like, so I had, like, a real connection with him for at least a little while. And, you know, like, for me, this whole recovery process, it's just, it's a process, and it's all about growth and change for me. And there's so much gratitude of all these lessons I'm learning. And, like, I always feel like such a fraud. I always feel like such a fraud in here, and I hate to be asked to speak, because I feel like I'm just floundering through this thing, like, and, like, not really working it. But I am. Sometimes it just doesn't feel that way. Because it's like, if I get in my head, it's like, I think I should think something, blah, 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 blah. You know? But when I sit and I get quiet, I can just melt. And I can just be at peace. And, like, that's where my answers lie. When I came in here, I was determined not to have a God. And I was okay with having a higher power. I was okay with using the program. And luckily, I stuck with this. And, like, I have this connection to something today that I can't put into words. And it saves my life. Like, this, you know, like, change I must or die I will. Like, if I wasn't dedicated to this, if I didn't, you know, do this on a regular basis, even when I'm not doing it to the best of my ability, even when I'm in those periods of complacency, I keep showing up at least. That's what, you know, to me, like, sometimes it's really the best I have is to stay clean a day at a time and wait until the pain gets great enough, you know, and I'm willing to make those big changes because, you know, there's always a lesson in it for me. And then I can take those lessons and I get to share them with somebody else. I get to share my experience, strength, and hope that I won with my tears and late nights talking to people and hiding and crying and whining and bitching and complaining and, you know, finally giving in and just letting go. That's all I have.
Okay, our second speaker is John Y. from Give Yourself a Break Group of Central Westmoreland area.
My name's John. I'm an addict. My clean date is June 7th, 2010. Might notice I'm a little older than our first speaker, and I think it's awesome that she stayed clean. I think there should be a rule that you have to have 10 years clean. Obviously, I don't have to speak, but I know that we might run out of people that way. First thing I thought of when I got that text too, or Facebook message was, why do this to me 2.5 months before I have to do this? Why don't you wait until, like, the day before so I don't have to think about this and get consumed in self-obsession and all that stuff? But I am truly grateful. This is my first time speaking at a retreat. I can certainly relate or identify with getting off topic, but I'm going to try and keep it simple. You know, I heard so much stuff in the last several months and so many days and hours and minutes and before I came here that, like, oh, I gotta this, that, you know what? And then something occurred to me a couple days ago. Just keep it your experience, strength, and hope with this particular topic, and that'll be okay. And practice honesty, you know, with it. This is my sixth time to this retreat. I came here, my first one was in 2009, my clean date was 2010. I was clean when I was here. I've been clean every time I've been here. I couldn't stay clean, or I wasn't willing to stay clean. I made some choices. I was actually given a choice to use, and I let life catch up with me. I like this topic. Because when I first got clean, and I've done that in my active addiction without recovery, had abstinence, you know, and managed to put together years, a couple, two, 3 years at a time away from drinking, and drugging, and drinking is a drug, by the way. It's a severely dangerous drug in my life, but and like there's always something on the outside. If I accomplished this, then I'd be okay. Like I'd have a baby, that would make me okay, and I'd be the, you know, this father of the year thing, and then buy a house, and I'd be, or a car, or something outside myself. But it is an inside job. I've learned that here, you know. I'm powerless over other people. I have two lovely daughters. They're 23 and 17. And I love their mothers, you know. I can't always say I felt that way, throughout my life. But today I do, and I appreciate it. What they, you know, the blessings that they gave me, these beautiful children that I have custody of and I'm responsible for. Wow, on the way up here, you know, I was thinking about riding up on the bike because it's just me, my girlfriend's at home, she's doing some stuff. And even if she was going to come, I was going to ride up, and then, like, I listened to the weatherman. Obviously, you know, not being a risky guy today, I just decided to drive up. But, and that's okay, you know, I've practiced that in my recovery, being a little safe than sorry. When I put down the drugs in 2009, it was in June of 2009, I thought that that was what I had to do. And it certainly is a big part of what I had to do. That was a big thing I had to change in my life. I had to quit. And I'd experienced that, like I shared earlier, putting down the drugs. And then I thought that was kind of like the beginning to the end. And how wrong was I, you know? I found out through this program that, like, the drugs is a symptom of the disease of addiction. And I used because of other things, like feelings. And I had certain behaviors that I wasn't willing to let go of. Kind of always wanted to keep in the back pocket in case this wasn't going to work for me. I always had an escape route throughout my life. There was always some way of getting out. Whether it was like quitting my job and going and begging for money from my parents for the rent or mortgage or whatever. I seldom took full responsibility for my actions and what I do. I was always the victim and pointing fingers and quick to blame and look at others for their faults and not my own part in things. On my way up here, I'm so grateful that I was asked to speak today. That I'm able to fulfill a commitment that I said I would do, you know, be accountable. On the way up here, though, I'm by myself in the truck, and I'm, you know, passing the gas station in Latrobe. I come from Greensburg. Hey, gas is cheaper. Okay, cool. You know, and I pass this tobacco store. I quit smoking cigarette tobacco January 1st, and like, that sounds good to me. Stop, get a pack of cigarettes, because last time I was here, I was smoking. I'm like, hey, I like being out in the woods. I like smoking. You know, I still am struggling with that. That part of my life is being unmanageable. But when I started thinking that way, like, I'm rolling along, you know, and I'm coming through the Sleepy Hollow, and I see how the tavern thing's open now. You know, it just snowballs for me. It goes from one bad behavior to the next, so eventually my life becomes a piece of crap again. You know, I know that. Like I said, I got clean originally in July of 2009, and chose to do a partial surrender. I was willing to put down the drugs. I wanted to have what you had. I wanted your clean time. I wanted your life. I wanted the house. I wanted the kids, the two, you know, all that stuff. Back in my life, I wanted the trust of you guys and everything. But I also wanted to hold on to that, the old people in my life. You know, one of the things I wasn't willing to completely change was people, places, and things. I got a little confused because, like, they, you know, our readings talk about people, places, and things cannot possibly fill the emptiness inside of us. So the addict in me is like all confused all the time, thinking, well, what's that mean, you know, versus changing it, you know. And it's just totally two different ways of looking at people, places, and things. One, you know, it's like you got to get rid of the people that are trying to kill themselves and you with them, you know. And then the other's like they can't change, you know. I can't buy stuff or get a girlfriend and expect her to keep me clean, or do something special for my mother and expect her to like take responsibility for what I do. One of the things I have changed too is like with the relationships I have with people, I've come to realize that like I can do the best I can with others, and it's up to them to accept me or as I am or not, you know. And I've let go of big expectations of people that are either close to me or not close to me. You know, they do what they do. You know, my daughters are of age. You know, just way later than I was whenever I started using, and I'm powerless over whether they use. You know, all I can do is like change me. You know, and again, like through the step work, being honest, open-minded to suggestions, and willing to take those suggestions to my life and apply them. So with that, I've found that I've gained a lot back in my life, way more than I expected. You know, I have a mother that sleeps at night. You know, that's a nice change. It's not about me, you know. It's about, like, people around me, people I hurt the most, you know. And I have kids that know that if I'm going to say I'm going to pick them up after school or at work or whatever, or be there for an event in their life, I'm there. That's a change, man. That's a significant change, and I'm blessed to have that in my life today. I know it can all go away when I put the first one in. You know, I appreciate that. My relapse, I'll just talk about that real quick. Like, I wasn't willing to change people, places, and things. I didn't admit that powerlessness over using, and I didn't really buy into the fact that alcohol is a drug. And my experience was, is I drank two beers successfully a few times, and I relapsed. You know, I relapsed when I first took the first beer, but I wasn't honest, and then I had that, you know, that guilt and shame going on, trying to come here and lie about my clean date, and it took me coming back for 5 or 6 months to surrender. And it took just not me, it took us. Because I had people in my life, fortunately, in that first few months of recovery that cared enough about me more than I cared about myself, that were willing to call me out on my shit. And eventually I was like, yeah, man, I am being dishonest with my program. So, and then the solution for me was to the change I had to make was to throw myself further into my program. You know, I started coming to more retreats. I came to, like, I went to speaker jams out of my area. I started to grow my we. I got people outside my area in my we. Should have asked for a moment to get out of the way here. You know, outside of sounding like I'm all over the place, but one thing that I have changed, like Megan said, like I'm able to go through feelings and change in my life today without having to numb it out or stifle it with drugs. You know, and it is true. I mean, things do change constantly. My disease is always changing. Like I said, coming up here, you know, it's doing push-ups right now as I'm speaking, you know. So if I'm not willing to do those same push-ups by accepting change, the things I can change, and accepting the things I can't in my life, then I'm probably doomed to use eventually. You know, it's not a matter of if, it's when. So for me, that's just been my experience with that. So I don't know why people become disconnected to the program. I find so many true loving and caring relationships with people in here that I don't understand why people would want to stop coming to this fellowship. It happens, and then people come back. I'm one of those people that was kind of bouncing in and out. But I'm glad to be here today. Been through some of the things. I've been taking it easy in my life as far as career work. I've been doing something that I felt like was pretty spiritual in my life. I've always been in like sales and management and stuff like that. And I got out of that realm of work in my life. And I was into, I worked as a caregiver. I've been working for a caregiver since I got clean. The money's not that great. Spiritually, it's awesome, you know. I found that like life isn't all about the almighty dollar. It's important, no doubt. But I've also found that like I made way more money when I was using it and never had anything in my account anyway. So at least today, the little I have, I'm able to change and make that into a living, sustainable lifestyle. Maybe not having a lot of money in my life has been a good thing, too. You know, it's forced me to make the most of what I do have and keep things decent and be responsible and take care of things like my cars instead of just like, oh, it broke, I'm going to go get another one. Like, so much of things in my life when I was in active addiction were disposable. I'm not just talking about things, I'm talking about relationships. I was like, if things got uncomfortable, I was gone, you know? I didn't want to hear about, you know, how can we work this out? I didn't want to go to counseling and all that stuff unless I thought I'd be right, you know? And I'd be the one getting all the accolades like, oh, yeah, you're the one that's right, you know? And I've had that happen. My experience has been like, hey, you didn't do anything wrong. She did. You know what? Guess what? I've learned something here, too, like, I don't win arguments. She doesn't win arguments. We don't win arguments. Nobody wins arguments, really. I've also learned to apply this. You know, I've learned this stuff through you guys and my sponsor. Like, you have a choice today. You can be right or you can be happy. You know, that's opened my mind up, too, to change. Like, things, new experiences in my life. It's a tremendous burden-relieving way to live for me. To not be expected to be right about everything or have to know everything. My active addiction, I thought I had to be everything to everybody. I was a huge people pleaser to all the wrong people and shit all over the people that cared about me. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I certainly lived that way. I keep my program extremely simple. You know, one of the things that I had to, and this is about change or I'll die, you know, is just like, I'm not responsible for you guys. I mean, really, I'm not. I'm powerless. I can't change anyone else. I can only change me through the help of each other here. But one of the, you know, I kind of lost my train of thought on that. A little nervous. This is my first time. I think I said that, but I don't know why, because if anybody knows me here, you guys do, you know, I tell you guys more than I'll tell anyone. I've learned that by changing my life and being, you know, accountable, responsible, and trustworthy is a big one in my life. You know, I didn't gain all that back overnight through others, but like by practicing that in my life, I've gotten that back into my life. I know what it was. It's like my program's extremely simple, and I don't know where this came from. I'm not going to, I can't say it was my idea, but it came to me. Like, my responsibilities is number one, don't use, and that means my recovery comes first. I have to keep it that way forever, you know, and I'm accepting of that. And number two was, like I said earlier, I was a people pleaser. I had to change that. I had to take care of people that cared about me, whether they're in the program, relatives, people that aren't addicts in my life. I try to treat them with the respect I expect back, you know, in a loving and caring way. I couldn't love anything when I came in here. I didn't know how to love myself. You guys showed me how. The third thing is work, you know. That does come into play when you have, I have responsibilities. I have to take care of people, so I do that. And the other responsibility I have after I take care of the first three is like to live life, you know, live life without the use of drugs, because it always was everything to me, you know. Today I've changed. I have choices. I can come to a retreat, feel comfortable. I can go boating. I can go golfing. I do stuff, you know. I have a motorcycle. I love to ride. I didn't ride today, but I may do that later. I don't know, man. I'm so blessed to have the people in my life today that have shown me that it's okay to be just okay. You know, I thought I had to be something like something special to be important. And the change for me is like being cool with myself. And you guys have shown me how to do that. You know, be cool with myself. That doesn't mean like I don't make mistakes. That's fine. Like, I'm changing jobs right now. I'm looking at getting back into something I did before years and years and years ago. And I'm a little nervous about it. You know, I've got a little bit of that triangle stuff going on, the fear, you know, of change. Because the pain really isn't great where I'm at, but it's not really going anywhere. So, you know, it's not like I'm out of money or anything, like desperation hasn't hit. But, like, I've learned here, too, that I don't have to change my life or make improvements in my life until, when all shit's hitting the fan. So, I'm changing that, trying to have some faith that it'll be okay if I just do the next right thing for the right reasons. I rarely get angry. I mean, I like to talk about one of the three things in my life that I totally experienced in active addiction was anger, resentment, and fear, and those are the triangle, you know. That's all I knew. They were my tools, they were my life, you know. And I've tried to, through your help, like, be more loving and accepting of things that are the beautification in my life today. I didn't mention this after I passed the Sleepy Hollow. Coming into Ligonier, there's like a Rolling Rock River. I don't think it's Lolahana. You know, this is like, I'm looking over to the right, driving down the highway, and I see this beautiful bird. It's all, I'm colorblind, so I think it was yellow, but it was big, sitting on a rock. I'm like, would I really notice that in my act of addiction, or if I was smoking that cigarette, or if I'd have stopped to get that beer? First off, I wouldn't be here, you know. I would have just done a 180. I don't know where I'd end up. Well, I have an idea, you know. You know, I've tried to change geographically, but I always ended up in the same place, jails, institutions, spiritual death. You know, everywhere I went, I always took John with me. So the steps was where I changed, you know, being honest and being feeling validated through sharing with you guys where I'm at, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking about doing is big for me. And like being okay with making mistakes. Like, this job change might be a mistake, but if I don't try, I don't know. You know? It's when I do the mistakes and keep doing the same stupid things over and over again, expecting different results. You know, that's not really changing. That's called insanity. I've learned that too. You know, like, I can't keep going back to the same things, expecting it to be okay. If it's going to kill me, you know, can't hang out with the same people. You know, I can't like call up old friends and say, "Hey, man, I'm doing so great. Why don't you come in?" Even if they were the seed planters in my life, man, all I can do is pray sometimes that they'll be here, you know, and I'll be here waiting for them. That's the responsibility I have. My main responsibility today is to stay clean, and that way people in my life today can sleep at night. I think that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share today.